All right, welcome back to the Grind Scheme of Things podcast. This is Boomy Doo. Let's talk about the future of anxiety. In this episode, I walk you through the work of a gentleman by the name of Ernest Becker. I highlight it, I point to it as a great resource for framing the conversation of human anxiety, its origins, and what it also means for the future of the individual. And in some cases, by default, for society, which we get into in future episodes of this particular series. So if you're someone who kind of struggles about what's next, what does the future look like for you and your business, or for even your loved ones, and you're trying to get that energy and emotion under control and put it into perspective, this is a series that's dedicated to you. And most of all, if you are a business owner or an entrepreneur or project manager or a student, and you'd like to get your energy of anxiety under control and get some perspective on it and its use and its value, this can also help you tremendously as well. So keep listening on, because once you get the anxiety under control, there's a certain power that you get to reclaim. And that's where this is all headed. So if you want that kind of power, continue listening. All right, guys, this is Boomy Doo with the Grind Scheme podcast. So today we are addressing a particular topic and subject that I call the future of anxiety. The future of anxiety. And if you are listening to this, I almost would put any money down that a part of you is either intrigued. You're like, the future of anxiety, what is that about? Or maybe you suffer from anxiety and are trying to get it under control. And so for clarity, this is not, there would be no sort of medical recommendations, no drug suggestions. This is a, what maybe some people would call a thought piece series that should inspire you to make empowered decisions about how to manage your life using policies, principles, values, and in some cases using a blueprint, right, to support you. So we kick today off with this particular podcast, which focuses on the future of anxiety. And I want to talk specifically about the concept of anxiety being the overwhelming, the emotionally overwhelming experience of not being able to predict what is next, right? The overwhelming emotional experience of not being able to predict what is next. I might have gotten the word switched back, but you get the idea, okay? So I believe that we live in a time, just like when I first wrote the book Hero Manity, 24 Hours to a Heroic Life. We live in a time that there is hyper anxiety. And with hyper anxiety comes the hyper social media blankets to comfort us. Comfort us in entertainment, comfort us in distracting content, cover us in, what they call doom scrolling, you name it, right? There is some counter to the level of anxiety that is just there in the world. And I want to peel another layer into this sort of futuristic conversation about anxiety and just share that there's a book that I've read a couple times that I've enjoyed reading in audio and a little bit in the physical form, but I definitely have to admit that, the audio was a lot easier just to listen to. And it's called The Denial of Death. It's written by an author named Ernest Becker. Okay. And in that book, he walks us through this idea that human beings, because they know that their life is going to come to the end. As a matter of fact, he says, human beings are like the only creatures that are aware of the end, right? That they are so aware of the end that there is a sort of anxious layer to their being that's always preoccupied with how to protect themselves against the inevitable or to distance themselves from that inevitable ending, right, of death. And as a result of this anxiety and the denial of that anxiety, that we end up with all kinds of what we call, he calls them death-denying mythologies. And these death-denying mythologies are constituted in our traditions of faith and practice. So regardless of what your spiritual beliefs are, in some way, some form, his argument in his case is that we are constantly looking at the future and terrified at the inevitable ending of our lives. And as a result, we now have to create a narrative and create mythology in the forms of as constituted by stories to really tell us what happens after, right? So think about it, right? If you were terrified about dying, you know, the best thing you could probably do is tell yourself a story that, oh, that dying is actually not the end. That there is something really, really cool on the other side, something really, really exciting, right? That you could look forward to versus just this eternal bliss of, or I should say, eternal abyss of darkness that awaits you. So rather than being terrified and petrified, distracted or disturbed or overwhelmed by the possibility that after death, you could be just facing blankness, a dark space or a light space, and nothing else happened. Rather than being terrified of that, by those scenarios, human beings, according to Ernest Becker, essentially create narratives about what is to come, which is referred, you could say, as the afterlife narrative. Okay. Now, before anybody starts thinking that this is going to get woo-woo and religious, no, that's not where we're going. That's not where we're going with this. Okay. Oh, goodness. No. So rather than face that future, we come up with stories, and our stories range from the story of what we know about Buddhism and the Buddha and Jesus and the prophets, okay? And you could say that those stories and whatever we project into those stories and those narratives, they're a reflection of our levels of anxiety, okay? If we feel that, hey, this life is harsh and difficult to live and survive, and that we're poverty stricken, then we might create a future vision of heaven being a place that's, you know, the streets are paved with gold, right? Or whatever the thing is. So that's just one scenario. It's all kinds of things that, you know, we can imagine or have heard as far as narratives as regarding what happens after we pass away. So the future of anxiety is this: that there is always a future that awaits where we don't know what's going to come and what's going to happen. That is the future of anxiety. Okay? The anxiety will be there. Or I should say, the condition of feeling like we don't know what's really going to happen next, that feeling is going to be there. Which then leads us into the next part of this whole series that I want to address, which is going to be addressing the future of survival. Okay? So before we go to that next episode, which will be released in a few days from now, we want to address, you know, and as I'm saying that, here I am recording in New York City, hearing sirens in the background, right? And we want to make sure we cover this whole notion of the future of anxiety and have the humility to admit that we are all experiencing some level of an emotional identification with the future of the unknown. What's going to happen to the kids? What's going to happen to, you know, my significant other if today was my last day? Are my insurance papers done and ready? Is my will finished? Is my trust set up? Is the state going to get involved? How would they get involved if I don't have these things in order? Who's going to be at the funeral? Or the, you know, sort of cremation ceremony, whatever it is that you decide. What's going to happen to all my stuff that's just sitting around in the garage or in the office? What's going to happen to my what's going to happen to my Google Drive? What's going to happen to my phone? You know, I mean, all listen, if you're chuckling, you know exactly that some way, somehow, you know. What are people going to say, you know, about me and about what they discover or find or unfinished books or projects? These are all parts of us. All considerations that we have in some way, shape, or form. And so with our death-denying mythologies in whatever form we have them, there are structures that we put in place or legalities that we try to set up in order to minimize that anxiety, to quell it. If you love your family enough, you say, man, listen, I know I do my best to survive. I do my best to provide, to make sure that the family is okay. And if something happens, I definitely want them to have a few years, you know, of the income that I would have generated, right? If I were to go sooner than planned. Okay, you know what? As a result, here's what I want to do. I'm going to make sure I've got enough insurance. Okay? I'm going to make sure that, you know, all the accounts are clearly set up and everybody knows what's going to, you know, who's going to get what, right? You start taking those precautions to quell the anxiety. And then even after that, you just hope that those orders, those instructions are carried through, which is, of course, that's a whole another layer of, you know, trusting an attorney or whoever the legal entity is that can administer things on your behalf and in your absence. And it's just all there. And where this is all headed is that there's a point in time where you just have to surrender, right? And we're not there yet, but you just, you know, there's a point in time when you just know, okay, I've done all of these things. And at some point you just say, listen, if all of this falls apart in some way, shape, or form, nobody finds a document saying, hey, listen, I was insured for X amount and here's what I want you to do with my remains. And here's like, whatever the thing is, right? At some point you just have to surrender. You just have to say, I give up, right? You almost get anxietied out. Okay. But for now, a couple conclusions is the feature of anxiety is that it is always going to be there. There is always going to be an unknown. Okay. And one of the most powerful ways to start to address that unknown is to start identifying what it is that you are experiencing about that future, what the triggers are that are triggering your emotional reaction about that unknown future. So is it not knowing who's going to get what? Is it not knowing what's going to happen with your creative work? Is it not knowing whether you'll be remembered? It doesn't matter what it is, as long as you're honest with yourself about it. Okay. And we're going to start talking about blueprints. That's right. I had to say it. At some point, this conversation, for those of you who know, you know, this conversation had to go towards in the direction of having some blueprints. Okay. And that's a whole different dimension of this whole thing. But at the very least, if we start with the same emotional identity that we all are suffering in some way, shape, or form
from the anxiety of an unknown future, based on an unknown future. We all can kind of be in the same boat and move towards the shore of blueprint land. Okay. So in this episode, I hope that, you know, you're honest with yourself enough to say, yeah, you know what? The future is our anxieties that is always going to be there. And the future of how I'm going to respond to that anxiety is that I've got to identify and create what my death denying mythology is going to be and identify what it's going to be based on. And that's what we get a chance to collaborate on and have a conversation about over the next few episodes. So if that's a conversation of interest to you, fantastic. I look forward to, you know, connecting with you in future podcast episodes, and we can take it from there. But in the next episode, we'll be talking about the future of survival and making it. And I'm going to tell you a story of something that recently happened that had me really re-examine this whole thing of what it looks like to, quote unquote, survive and make it. Okay. And it ties back also to this episode. So I look forward to sharing some of that with you in the next episode of The Grind Scheme of Things. And I'll see you then. All right, thank you for checking out this episode of The Future of Anxiety. So what's next? Where do we go from here? So first is, of course, if you've identified some way somehow with what's been discussed here, then you are in a good position, because that means you probably are a good candidate for listening to the next episode, which is coming. If you haven't already seen it yet, it will be posted within the next 6 or 7 days. And that particular episode is going to be about the future of survival. See, now that you understand the nature of anxiety and its origins, you now have to see how it starts to play out with your tendencies, your survival tendencies. Now, this all blends into business, because how you run your business is a function of the level of anxiety you operate with, how you manage your team, how you talk to your team members, how you talk to, you know, other people who don't understand what you're doing. It all is a reflection of your relationship and your understanding and your perspective of anxiety. And that bleeds into whatever steps you take to survive and to make it. So if that is of interest to you to see and then to be able to take control of again, then listen and stick around. Make sure you subscribe to, whether this is on Spotify or wherever you might find it, so that you don't miss the next episode in this series, which is the future of survival and making it. All right, thanks a lot. To those of you who are 24-hour blueprint users or playbook owners or planner owners, this series, you know, will guide you through, or give you some perspective, I should say, about the value and the significance of the blueprint playbook or planner that you possess. Blueprints have a way of helping us have certainty about how things are going to be put together or how things are going to be built. And whether you are aware of it or not, you'll need blueprints in some way, shape, or form if you want to have a certain calmness or a certain confidence about whatever the future holds for you, in especially the 5 areas of life that I talk about in the playbook. So although this series is written in sort of a cliffhanger, hey, what's happened, hey, what's happening, hey, what's next kind of way, at the end of the day and alongside with it, what I hope is that your understanding, in the case, let's say now, of this anxiety conversation, that you realize that inside of your blueprint, there's a section that can help you start to overcome whatever the anxiety is that you're experiencing by helping you or teaching you how to follow blueprints that you can determine support you the way you want it to support you. Okay, so that's one of actually the solutions or answers to this question of, well, how do I overcome, or how do I not necessarily just overcome, but how do I really manage this feeling that I have of being, you know, overwhelmed by what's next or what's to come in the future that sometimes you don't even have any control over, right? So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that you knew what the solution, if there's technically a solution to this conversation, it's inside of your playbook. And if you don't have a playbook, or you're hearing this about hearing about this for the first time, your 24-hour blueprint playbook can be found in the link in the description section. Okay, and then for the veteran users, those who've had their blueprints for a while but maybe haven't gotten into it, remember there's an ecosystem of resources. So if you haven't read it, you'll hear about it on a YouTube page or a Facebook page, or you'll hear about it in a group, or you hear about it on a podcast, or you'll read about it in a post, right? So, you know, there's different ways that the message about addressing the levels of consciousness, one of them which would come with anxiety, how to address it using the blueprint. And so this series walks you through the emotional or consciousness foundation of the blueprint. Okay, a little bit of history, a little bit of philosophy, and a little bit of forward thinking, right, will go a long way with this series. So hope that helps and supports you with, you know, answering the question of like, where is this all headed? And I will talk to you on the next and upcoming podcast. Thank you.